Hey y'all, this is the Be The Recreation Podcast. I'm your host Imani, and I'm here today with two of my good girlfriends. Agnes Lazar, she is the owner of Waxing With Aggie, and she has had this business for 8 years. She's also a licensed esthetician of 10 years. And then I have Gianni Nascimento. She's been a cosmetologist for 16 years, and we went to school together, and she is recently on her own as a solo stylist out of LA. So today we are going to discuss fees, consultations, cancellations, and all the other things that are going on in the world right now. So let's start with
the beauty right now.
The world of beauty. Very conscious of that. So, Gianni, we were talking earlier before we started recording that you just started being a solo stylist this year or this past year, 2023.
How has it been? February of this year. It's been beautiful. Honestly, I feel like the freedom that I get from just scheduling my own hours is exactly what I wanted. That's what freedom and happiness meant to me, was just like making sure that I can schedule my day the way that I needed it to go and how it should flow. The challenging part was just, you know, trusting that my clients will follow me. I did my best to kind of maintain the relationships and build the relationships that I could with as many clients. And I lost a few. I don't know if I were to just say like a percentage of clients that I've lost, I would say about 20%, but I look at it as an opportunity to kind of build in those new clients in those spaces. Mm-hmm. So it's been a challenge, but you know, I'm grateful. It's already the end of the year and I've been able to pay my rent. So it's
been
great.
Good. Are you booth renting or?
So I'm at a solo salon. Rent. Right. My salon rent and my house rent. So I pay weekly in the salon suite. And then I pay obviously for my rent in my apartment.
No, that's great. I think that's awesome to be able to do that and maintain yourself in LA at that too. So Aggie, I wanted to ask you, because you have owned your waxing studio for 8 years. And every time we say it out loud, it's like, dang, 8 years, like you'll be almost at 10, or at least we're hoping, you know, you want to go that far. Does
yeah,
it feel
signed,
like it
I
was
just
worth
signed
it?
The lease.
Oh yeah, you did.
Does it feel like it was worth it? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Why?
I mean, I used to have a solo suite like Gianni before I got the big location where I'm at now.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes it's a lot you have to burden yourself with, because when you have a team of people, I'm not going to say you're responsible, but you got to pay everybody and everything depending on how the business is set up. And so like, that's a huge load to carry. So when I think about it, I'm just like, I would do fine if I was by myself, but like, I mean, Gianni, you set your own hours. I mean, before I didn't have any clients. And then when I did have clients, I couldn't change the hours that I had because I have to be accommodating.
Right.
So I need to be available for when my clients are available to be able to take them, because otherwise then I won't have no clients.
Yeah. So between the two of you, since it's like a very stark contrast and like you're just a solo stylist and you've been in business for 8 years, having to bring on stylists, Aggie, train them and then let them go, that whole process, would you throw it out the door? Like, do you even like doing that?
So I hired a manager, but like, you know, like Michelle's been with me for a couple years managing, but like sometimes it's like some of the things that has to come from me, because if it doesn't come from me, it's not like taken as serious or like respected, you know. I mean, all the people that I have brought on, I've genuinely like loved them, you know, because they helped me build my business to what it is. Like the first person that I had to fire was with me for like 4 or 5 years.
That's tough.
But her her attitude, like towards the end, one of the biggest things that people have an issue with.
Gianni, that's why you got fired.
My biggest issue was people did not know how to leave your drama at the door. When you come to work, it's not work that's affecting your life, that's affecting you, because you're here to see clients and that's it. And then you go home. Right. You're here to build a relationship. I mean, with your coworkers and whatnot. I mean, it's not that deep. If you're busy, you don't really have time to interact with coworkers because you're busy. Mm-hmm. But when you're not busy and you start worrying about what everybody else is doing, it's ridiculous. But I think that people will say that their home life, they won't say it's their home life. They'll say it's the job mm-hmm. before they say it's their home life.
I and see, because they're in their job while they're going through these emotions.
Basically.
So, because Gianni, you were sharing earlier that you have been fired and everybody should be fired at least once to know what it feels like. Maybe fire a couple of people to know what that feels like. I mean, were you the person coming to work with a bad attitude, or was it just something going on and just flooded into work?
Being where I am now in life and kind of just reflecting back on those moments, I just didn't know how to handle and juggle personal work and be professional while my world was crashing. And because I was a stylist, I was a young stylist, I started working in a salon when I was 17 years old, and I was still working as an apprentice or an assistant until I was like 20. And the stylist that I was an assistant for, she was like my mom in the salon, because I was behind her doing everything for her, learning everything from her. And when she finally left the salon that we were working at, which was Bubbles mm-hmm. Salon, and she opened up her own brick and mortar in Silver Spring, Maryland. And asked me, just came to me personally, was like, you know, I love you. I think you're great. I want you to come over to the salon. And I was excited because I was like, of course, I'll follow you anywhere you want to go. But she wanted me to go as a stylist. And I've never been a stylist yet. You know, I was just her assistant for this entire time. So I was entering a new space where I felt comfortable with the person that I was working, and she was my manager. When life things happen, I just thought, you know, I'm in my early 20s, I'm thinking like, you know, this person knows exactly what I'm going through. She's going to understand. And I took advantage of that. And it just got to a point mm-hmm. where it was a little disrespectful, where I would come in when I wanted to, because I knew that I could see my schedule before I came to work. So I knew I didn't have a client at 9 a.m. So I wouldn't come at 9. I'll show up at 10 or 11. But because of Silver Spring, you know, on Georgia Avenue, there's walk-ins all the time. So the business was losing, you know, it was me and two other stylists, Christina and Pui. And Fasika would just, you know, she'd be like, you need to be here at 9 o'clock. I don't have a client at 9 o'clock. I'm going to be here at 10. You can't do that. Okay. But I still would do it. So it was just a lot of that energy, which was extremely disrespectful. And I see that now. But then I was just like, no, like I can do what I want. I'm my own stylist. I have my license. You hired me. You know who I am, all the mm-hmm. things. And
I'm looking at Aggie's face. Go ahead.
I mean, because it's familiar. It's legit. Like this is
it's
how
ridiculous.
The people feel in the industry. But if everyone knew how to work together well, we would do so much better. You know,
absolutely.
Like being
absolutely.
A team player, like you won't have anything to worry about. You see how shit is crashing? Things are crashing right now.
Yeah, I know. It was a shock because mind you, I'm looking at her like she's my mom, like she's my second mom, right? So when she fired me, I was looking at her and I kind of was like smiling, and she was just like, Gianni, you need to leave. And she's tried to fire me in the past, and it just wasn't a thing. It's like any relationship, right? Like, I'm going to leave you. You're not leaving me. I'm going to leave you. You're not leaving me. And then you come home and all their stuff is gone. You're like, what happened? That happened to me. And I was just like, she's like, you need to pack your things and you need to leave now. And my best friend Christina was there, and she was just like, what are you doing? And I was like, Fasika fired me. She was like, what? I was like, I think it's real this time. But I was, you know, I had such an ego, and I was so young, and I was just like, whatever, I'm going to be fine. But inside I was like, what are you about to do right now? Like you don't even have all your clients' information, Gianni. Like, what are you about to do? I left, I packed all my stuff. I got in the car. I was crying in the car for like an hour. I have barber friends. I have other stylists that are friends that were working in the area. I texted, called all of them, told them what happened. I kind of bounced around for a few months just with the clients whose information I already had or who had my information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my best friend was working at the salon, so she was like getting my clients to me as best as she could. But I was unstable for a long time. And I realized then, I was just like, I can't, this isn't sustainable for me. So I ended up looking for another job at another salon. And then I ended up working as an educator for Aveda. And I was just kind of in this like weird space where I was like, do I really want to do hair? Is it really that important to me? And that kind of was another journey that I've been through. But what?
That's where I know you from.
Oh my God. You're so silly.
Moment. I used to have blonde hair. That was when I was at school at Aveda in 2013. And then you rolled out in the middle of that year, I think.
Oh, yeah. School was a mess, girl.
Oh, wait. So you were at Aveda being taught by Gianni and a bunch of other people.
No, I was at Aveda in the aesthetics program, but Gianni was teaching the cosmetology program.
Wow. I was at the seniors. That is so funny. And you know, what's crazy? You know what's crazy? When I was with Imani and we came to your shop, I was like, I don't.
Y'all were staring at each other like, where I know you from? I'm like, y'all know each other.
But you came to the back one time and I did your underarm wax.
Oh my gosh.
I love this. I'm like, there's a reason why we had it, you know, like right now. I was like, why do I kind of like, I feel like I know this person.
Duh. So silly.
Oh my God. Aveda Institute was another challenge too, man. But I did leave.
Especially in that location.
It was crazy. No, it was crazy. Thanks for that underarm wax, girl.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. So
this was her first time too getting the underarm wax. It was in there with a student with me.
I was shaving. I was like only shaving until then. I was just like, this is the perks here are great. Like it was beautiful. It was a challenge
though. I
love
this.
That was so funny. Good.
So were you, and so Aggie, it's so crazy how like the timeline is starting to match up. So yes. You graduated from Aveda as an esthetician and went smack into being a waxer and having your own small studio.
No. I took I had to get a job. I had no experience about anything. I didn't have any money. I just had a kid. My son was like a couple months old and I was like, okay, now I get financial aid. I can go to school because I'm independent and not having to ask my parents to be co-signers on anything. And so I qualified for financial aid and I was like, all right, I'm gonna go to Veda. I've always wanted to do this on top of the makeup.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
On top of like, for your degree.
That part.
I mean, we all have degrees. It's so crazy that we have degrees. And how much was Aveda when you were there? Do you remember?
$7,000. Do you know how much it is now?
How much is it now?
It's like 16,000. Yeah. And that's just aesthetics program.
And they don't even have that school anymore. It's just in Virginia, I think.
Now it's in Virginia.
Yes, it's not even in that whole area is a mess now.
They closed it.
Wow, that's so crazy. So, okay, Aggie, you said you didn't have any money. You finished school.
I have no money. And then I went to work at Nordstrom's.
That's what it was.
Yes.
So you went to work at retail?
I went to work in retail, and they wouldn't let me do, like, they put me in, like, the skincare area, right? And I was like, okay. And then, you know, Anastasia Beverly Hills was right next to my section, and I kept saying to the girl, I was like, I really, you know, like, I'm going to go take the test for my license, and then I really want to do brows and stuff. And she was like, don't you think that's weird? You're not loyal to, what was the brand that I was working for?
That's crazy.
Like I'm loyal to this money.
Right.
I mean, it's not that. So, like, my passion. You know, I wanted to do what made me happy.
Right.
Genuinely happy. And it's always been boxing. So she was like, we can revisit it once you get your license. Got my license. And then I went and talked to the manager. She was like, I don't think this is for you. Let's stick with, I forget, philosophy. That was the line. I used to work for philosophy.
Oh, wow. Did they go out of business?
No, they're still in business. Somebody bought it? Like, it's so, the smell of it is so strong.
They bought it?
But everybody that worked for the line, the AE, everybody, they're no longer with the company. I know something happened, but they're not in Nordstrom's anymore.
Obviously, you might be in a Sephora or something, or like Blue Mercury or something like that.
Possibly.
Some of those like random certain type
but
of clientele type of stores.
Too. After I left Nordstrom, I went to go work at a spa. I happened to go to this spa to get a manicure or a pedicure, and then I was like, do you guys have an esthetician? I was like, I'd love to be the esthetician here. I think I worked there for 3 months, and then that lady treated me like crap, and I was like, yo, I'm out. I'm finna go do what makes me happy.
What do you mean treat you like crap? What did she do? Do you remember anything
she
where you were
like
oh,
know,
no.
People talk to people really crazy.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that too scarred me in this industry, which is why, like, people that work for me, I can't talk to people crazy. If I ever talk to somebody crazy, we'd be fighting. You cannot talk to people the way this lady talked to me. She was like, do you think you could do these additional facials this week? And I said, no, because I'm starting another job. She was like, get out. I was like, what? I was like, all right, bye. She was so pissed.
Wait, so you left there and then that's when you opened up your studio?
Yeah, I opened up my studio, and at this point I was a, what do they call it? A freelancer for Arcona, which was a skincare line. And so they had given me all these products and stuff, and I was like, well, since I don't got no facial products, I could make up my numbers as a freelancer and do facials on the side at my little studio with these products. Because I got, like, I'm going to use these products to do it. So
you did my facial.
With that stuff, yeah, probably.
Probably.
And
she was
Imani was on
like,
the floor.
This is back. Everybody used to be like, you do amazing dyeing. Facials. Do you know
right.
I'll never go back
facials.
To doing
that? Right. Facials.
Taking care of
my hair dye, getting it cut. I was getting free, a bunch of free things. I pay y'all now. I pay Aggie now. I go and I'll pay the
full price.
You don't
even see me. You see somebody in there.
I don't. You know, I can't have my best girlfriend waxing me.
Anymore.
It was, but she's phenomenal. Like, there's a reason you are a 5-star waxer. Like, it's the reason the shop is well known in the area because you do not play.
I mean,
but
quality over everything.
Not everybody functions like that. So I wanted to talk about fees. So now that we've gotten to the point, like, okay, we know y'all are established, what y'all are doing. I want to understand what you tack on as fees, what actually count as a fee for both of y'all. So Aggie, when did you start charging fees since the pandemic?
Like just
you
late fees. Late fees, no show
that's
fees.
A fee.
I mean, if you put a deposit down, that's the fee. This deposit is the fee. If you don't show up, if you miss your appointment, I'm keeping it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's all. I'm not about to
do
anything
that?
Else. People...
Do you do that, Gianni?
I have a deposit, $15 deposit for hair color or chemical service. And I have a late fee or a cancellation fee. Sorry, just cancellation fee. The late fee is within 24 hours of the appointment. So that's like half of the price that it would be. The full service.
That's the same thing
as like $100. Oh, okay. So you're basically putting it on the front.
Cancellation fee is there. Yeah. Cancellation fee. Cancellation fee and a deposit for color. A fee.
Wait, so Aggie. Right. The fee is a fee. So I'm talking about you have a fee for, or better say, you have a deposit when booking the appointment, which I've seen. And it goes towards the total of that service.
Yes.
And then Gianni, you're saying you have a fee for color and what else?
Cancellation.
Cancellation, but you don't have a late fee. You just have 24 hours later, you're going to be charged the half the cost of the service?
50% of a regular service, the service that you're getting done, yeah.
You don't charge it up front?
Well, so, okay, this is the conversation I need to have now, because I posted something the other day, and obviously sometimes we think we're out here in the world going through things by ourselves, but we're not. So I got so many responses from other stylists that are like, no, that's, you know, just sharing their experience with me. And
Explain what happened.
I had a client book an appointment the day before, and then the next morning she no-showed me. And it was like 7 o'clock in the morning appointment. So I was up at 5, and I was at the salon until 9 o'clock that night. So it was a long day for me. And I charged her 50% of the price, which is usually the full price. But I was just like, let me just charge her 50%. And that's another conversation that we can have, where stylists or people feel like, look at you, your facial expression.
Right. Her face is like, She's like, maybe put you on game right now. So
just charge them the whole price. But that also just comes with experience, right? Like, I wasn't doing any type of fee. I wasn't doing any type of deposits before I moved to California. And when I moved out here and I started working at these salons, they started just making it very clear that, like, let me take care of your books and let me show you how to build your business. And so I was learning from them. So now that I'm on my own, I'm like, well, this just makes sense all the way around now.
They did all the admin work for you, basically. So exactly. Work and they did everything else. So if someone was late, missed their appointment, they charged them for you.
You know? And then I have the conversation with the clients. So they're like, you charge me for that. I'm just like, that's the policy here. We got to go by the policy. It is the policy. Those are the rules. And now that I'm on my own, I'm like, I still should value those policies and those rules for myself. And my clients should follow those policies and those rules, because that's just respect. And that's, you know, that's the level of professionalism that I want to be at. And if it was that easy for me to be like, well, they said you got to pay, then why can't I do that for myself? Right. So right. I had a client, and that happened to me this Friday. What's today? That happened to me yesterday.
That part.
Well, lesson learned. Now you got a strategy. You charge her half. Right. Maybe you charge her the whole thing next time. Or maybe you just block it. Like, if you're going to book within a certain window, you have to actually get in touch with me before you could do that.
And remember, we were talking about, I can't remember, but you said something about they don't charge, do they pay up front? And so that's why I have forms, and that's why I have people confirm at least 2 or 3 days before the appointment, so that they have the opportunity to cancel the appointment or reschedule the appointment. And I don't have to have them prepay the appointment, cancel the appointment, and have to refund or whatever the thing is. I'm just like, okay.
There's no refund. You can hold it on file for them and it goes in reserve.
See, I understand that. That to me is, I'm just like, I'd rather just charge you the day that you miss the appointment.
No.
So wait, so what you saying, Aggie? You're saying somebody misses it.
Just remember, when I was a solo esthetician, do you know, like, one day, my accountant ran down with me, like, after, like, at the end of the year, he was like, you have had about $40,000 worth of, like, missed and no-shown appointments. And this is, like, me working, I was working by myself, and I was working that first year, like, 7 days a week. I was playing no games because I support a child and myself. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to get out of my parents' house, and I was really just, like, hustling. All a hustle. Everything is a hustle when you first get into this. And I couldn't believe, like, these people really carried me like that, though. I was like, and they didn't, like, people don't care. They have no regard for time. And, you know, like, you love these clients. You care so much about them. But when it comes down to them, like, I had a girl say to me, you know, like, I come here loyally. And I said, as a person who comes here loyally, you know the policy here.
Mm-hmm. At least you should.
You scheduled this time. Why would you give me your money and then you, like, want it back after you didn't show up? Why? Like, what? Like, What did I have to pay all these people? The bills is keep going, even though your ass did not show up.
Right.
I'm that's not fair.
That's very interesting. Now it's like, now the client apologized and asked if I would still keep them as a client. But now that I know they have this history, I'm just like, well, you're just going to have to pay your appointment up front, you know? So she's going to have to do it. And I don't know about anybody else, but it's rare that I have people no show me at this
point. What do you use? Where I'm at.
Gloss Genius.
For the booking?
Yeah. But on Glossy Genius, it allows you to take a deposit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you 50% of it, like, and then you say, okay, I'm going to charge you 50%. If you don't show, then it's 100% because it's time wasted. She didn't call you or anything. That's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Seven in the morning. Business women are up at 7 a.m. Bruh. So.
Like, I'm like,
this doesn't feel good. No, it was.
Was she drunk when she booked the appointment and was like, "Oh,
no, she is just."
Did she reach out to you after?
I think it was maybe like 20 minutes after 7. She called me, saying that her alarm didn't go off and that she can be there in the next like 30 minutes. And I was like, "I can't take you. I have clients the rest of the day." Like, the only reason why I took you at 7 a.m. is because I was squeezing you
at seven in the morning.
Anybody else available for you, you know? So,
but you see, that's the problem because we go out of our way to do this stuff, and then they're like, okay, well, I could be there in 30 minutes, and then the expectation is that you still take them because you're a solo stylist and you need their money, and whether I needed the money or not, you still should have respected me.
Right. it just goes back to respect and time.
Like, yeah, and then people don't understand what y'all spend money on either. Like the products, the equipment, the getting to the shop and leaving, eating, like all these different things pile up. And if you have a website, the
education.
Your education shoot.
Well, sometimes you don't even take a lunch and they'd be like, well, that's your problem.
Exactly.
I was like, I was trying to be accommodated to y'all.
Well, we take
on lunch getting
now.
Their hair done. Right, they're lunch getting the wax.
That part.
I mean, they probably ate in the car, and you over here waiting.
That
like,
part.
When they gonna get here?
It's a new for me. I feel like it's a new conversation just around respect and time, mm-hmm. and to be taken serious in this industry has just been a struggle for us. I feel like, at least I can speak personally from my experience, and you know, once you start implementing your policies or your rules, you're kind of just standing there like, it is what it is. Like, this is a luxury. You don't have to be here. And the services that I'm providing are for people that want to be here and respect my time, respect my, what I do. And so you're going to be paying for that time. Yeah, the quality. But
do you know
what I did?
As in the past, like, I've had people be like, can I get I want a refund. Like, I didn't come, but I want a refund. I remember that. Anything. Even if they miss appointment, they'd be like, I want a refund. I was like, sure, I'll give you a refund, but you can't come back here.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever again.
And then people get like,
I'm
going to
post this conversation on Instagram.
Yeah, because you inconvenienced me, so I'm going to inconvenience you.
And I'm going to tell every other waxer in the DMV area that you do this shit.
I used to do that too. I used to be like ranting on Instagram all the time, and then I was just like, you know what, I'm tired of ranting. I'm tired of being that person. It's so unprofessional. Let me stop. Then I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna let you ride. Let y'all do whatever y'all want to do.
So, okay, if we're at the consensus that Gianni should be charging at least 50% up front.
Absolutely.
Then let us know if Aggie, have you seen profit just from people paying up front and missing the appointment? Because like you said earlier,
you know,
$40,000 down the drain of missed appointments and all that stuff. So
that is a great question, actually.
as of late, have I seen a like a profit from people no-showing? Probably. The thing is that our no-show fee goes to the back end of the house, which means that no one makes that money. It's just we charge that to the gang. And so, like, it covers everything else going on. So we, like, what I used to do was I would give the so the dynamics of my team kind of changed. And so what I used to do was I would give the staff the commission on the no-show fee. But when my staff started to not really be, like, you know, a little
enthusiastic, yeah,
and like not being as much of a team player as everyone was before, I was like, okay, we're gonna charge it to the game. Basically, our admin will like benefit off of that because they're the ones that have to deal with the disgruntled client, the people getting pissed off because they late. Like one time, a lady came in and called the girl at the front desk a bitch, and I was like, and she told her she was gonna fight her. And I was like,
after the service,
this was because she was gonna miss her appointment, and she was on the phone. She was like, "I will go when I get up there." I'm like, "Bro, leave earlier."
I feel like the fees.
I'm mad at people because you're late.
I feel like the fees just help us weed out the people who just don't have their schedules together. And I've missed an appointment for a client. Like, I've been late for a client, but I also try to do what I can to make it right with them. Like, it's just a different energy from one side to the other where I'm like, if I miss your appointment, I'm sure as hell going to be like, I'm going to take care of it if you allow me to, because I totally understand if you're just like, you know what? No, one time's it for me. It goes both ways. But if it's a consistency where it's like, I need to see you A, B, and C out of the week, and you keep doing the same things, like, it's just like, those would be grounds for being fired as a client or just being charged the late fee.
Yeah. So what do y'all think about, like, I was going to say, what do you think about people who are stylists or waxers or whatever, nail techs or whatnot, and they're charging deposit, inventory fee, length fee. So if it's hair, like how long your hair is or how thick your hair is fee. Well,
I mean, like, so if you are an expert, all the fees aren't necessary. Charge the, like, make your price what to include all those things. And that's it. All the extra fees are so, like, redundant.
So it sounds like if you got all these fees, you're probably not licensed, or you're probably not seasoned.
You're just making numbers up. You're just like,
yeah. Or you just knew.
People are lazy. That's like
making up stuff.
You're lazy. Yeah. You're making up stuff. You're like lazy, and you're trying to account for something that you're not getting somewhere else. So if you have one client, that one client rack up all them fees, you making like $600 on that one client. You ain't got to worry about seeing another client. If you see two clients in a day, you made.
You're right. And you'd be foolish to pay $600 for a stylist charging you all them fees.
But people do it.
They do.
It's the crazy part.
They do. And that's why people get away with it.
What are those things? The wigs. My niece does the wigs.
Lace wigs.
Whatever they are. Installs. It's like three. Basically, and she makes the wig for like $300 and then installs it for $300.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. That sounds standard. Okay, no, so then what do you?
That's crazy.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know LA prices.
I've heard
it. Your mom used to wear a wig.
Yeah, but that's not the same type of wig.
It's different.
It's not
different.
The same type of wig.
Because when you're thinking about the income of
your
city.
It's a little different.
You're thinking about what's the average income in that city. You're thinking about how much time you're actually working. Are you working Monday through Friday? Are you working 2 days out of the week? Like, what is the target market that's in your space?
This is,
like,
crazy.
That's where you should be coming up with these numbers, like, or just figuring out what numbers. So you're not just like, oh, I want to charge this much because I need to make 90 this year. It's just like, no, like, what is actually right with what's in your market, whatever you're specializing in, you know?
The average pricing for color in your area, what is it?
I don't look at those numbers. I look at the annual income.
But you just told me I need to look at those numbers.
I have it written right here. Annual
income. No. The stylist.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're talking about clients or the stylist? The client? Yeah.
The client.
They're looking at...
Well, I don't think a client's going to do that.
What?
That part. So people don't even care. They're just like...
That was your point.
I'm talking about stylists. How to figure out what you're charging. Like, these are what you should be looking at. Like, clients are looking...
Oh, they're thinking about what they want to make for a year? You're thinking about what you want to make for the year.
I'm basing my prices based off the annual income in Los Angeles, the days of the week that I'm working, how I service my client, how long it takes me to service my client, what my target market is, the price of the products and that I'm providing for these services, how long it takes. Like if I do a keratin treatment, mm-hmm. it's like a $400 treatment, and the treatment itself, average time for a stylist to do that treatment is 3 hours. I can knock it out in an hour and a half with a haircut. So I'm already charging more because of my time.
Yeah, you're three times to do it, already. You know what I mean? Yep. Because
so
you shrink
the time. So I have clients that come in to get keratin treatments. They're like, this is great. I love coming here because I'm out in an hour and a half. I go next door, it's 4 hours. And I'm like, I know, because I've done this 365 days out of the year. I've mastered the time to cut it back down. Like, that's why people are charging these prices. Or if you have a specialty, if you're a texture specialist, or if you're a balayage specialist, or if you specialize in haircuts, like, that's your specialty. You honed in on that specific thing that you're just like, this is how much I charge because of my time. It's your perceived value that you get to allow to charge these prices. Not because I want to be able to afford this car, this bag, this lifestyle, this is how much I'm going to charge. That's not fair. That's not fair to whoever you're servicing. That's not how it's supposed to be done. At least that's what I was taught. And I feel like that's old hairdressing. Mm-hmm. We're just like, what's going to be $80 because I need to pay my car note?
Because you just came up with a number.
That makes sense.
Right.
That's what we have now.
No, people do that. But like you said, what we say the other day, old hairdressing, old styling, and then Aggie, like
I waxed my hairstylist, right? And then I went to go see her and she charged me. She normally never did that. But then when I got there, she charged me the same price for my hair.
For the wax?
She could get her, yes, so she could get her money back.
Oh my God.
No.
That was clever.
But
no, like to your point, you know what? Stop. That's why you're hearing that bun.
Yes.
You're so silly. No, but like earlier you were saying the time it takes you to get a service done factors into your costs. Just as much as I've been in this business for X amount of years, I'm allowed to charge this much, just like anybody else could. And Aggie, you're doing waxes in 15 minutes, Brazilians in 15 minutes.
If that,
well, it's not even,
but no, that's one's, no so, one's in there for 30 minutes to 45 minutes getting a Brazilian.
Pandemic, I raised the price to $100. You know that,
right? Well, from where? From where?
When I was at the shop last year. So remember, I basically had a whole year where I kept going on vacation on people. So like, I think I lost a lot of clients during the year because I was just like, I'm not about to have this business and then be like, oh yeah, I had a business and I never lived life. I said, I'm going to live this year.
She was so out every month.
And so then I changed my prices to $100 because the time that I couldn't spend working on the business because I had to service a client, I felt like it needed to cover all the other expenses of me having to pay someone else to like do all the things that I needed to get done, mm-hmm. all while I was also living my life.
Do you, when your price increases, do you tell people? Or you just, okay.
Why? Does exactly. Kmart tell you that they might raise the price on
Kmart? People say that.
I see.
So in the beginning pandemic, I did. So then after that, I was like, no, I'm just going to raise the price, change the price. So even with the new people there, I have a pricing scale to meet everybody's budget with different people in my shop. So there shouldn't be a reason why somebody's like, oh, I'm not going to go there. Everyone is skilled, but there's just a price scale to meet every budget.
Hmm. That's nice.
That's how the salon was too.
I've worked in a salon like that.
Tears.
Yeah. The head stylist or the owner. Yep. Basically. They were most expensive and everyone else was a tier and a tier and a tier. I like that. That makes sense.
For sure.
You're special.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think about things.
Like that base coat is going to take you an hour and a half.
Okay, so I have a question. That's true. Yeah, I have a question about the consultation of services. So specifically, because you're an esthetician, do you feel that your clients actually read the policies, put all their information in there, you know, with that Q&A of like, what products are you putting on your face?
Never.
You know, what?
Never.
And does that mess up the appointment if they're not being honest? Also.
So just imagine someone coming in and saying they're not using anything, like, because they're trying to get through the form. So imagine you make an appointment, you wait till right before the appointment to like even open the forms or fill them out. So you're just rushing through it, not really reading anything. And people be like trying to press enter on it. And it would be a box that they didn't answer or fill out. So that's how I knew they didn't read it. One girl did that. And so like in there, it says, if you are using retinol and still continue and still decide to do this appointment, that's on you, fam. So
read those terms and conditions.
And I was like,
what happens with that? But like, explain eyebrows, what happens with retinol and getting waxed.
People's eyebrows, their skin comes off. It's like frying a pancake on a skillet. And then don't getting stuck. You've ever seen them like where people would just have like all this pink skin and it just looks like you just like carve their skin off of their under their eyebrows? That's what happens when they're using anything with like retinol, anything with like crazy, like if you just had a chemical peel, you just had a facial and then you came to get your eyebrows done and you don't say that. But although you fill out a consultation form, people are still required to ask you. So sometimes you'll ask them, even though they filled it out and they said no, and the answer will be completely different in the room. But you can tell just looking at people's skin, like if you've been doing this for a while, you can look at somebody's skin and be like, what are you using on your skin? And know that something's off before you even put anything to their skin. And then they're looking at you like, girl's laying there, she's looking at me, I'm looking at her. And I'm like, so you still want to do this? And she was like, yeah, it'll be fine. I do it all the time. I was like, well, damn, it came up. Ooh. And she was like, it's okay. Finish, just finish. And I'm like, but your skin came up. I was like, it might come up on the other side.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
That. Did it? It came up on the other side, too?
I would have. You should have kicked her out.
And, she's like, what do I do?
Don't come back.
I'm like,
don't come back.
Now she wants you to solve the problem for her.
Bruh. I'm like, put Neosporin on it.
Uncle Four.
And like, you really should, like, you just be like, put some Bacitracin on it. Like, something that's healing.
You know what you should do, Aggie? You should have a product in the studio for
people. I ain't making no products.
Bring in one. Like, oh, your eyebrows came off. Girl, yes. Nah, look, we got a product right there. Your eyebrows came off. Try this.
Nah.
$15 on your way to check out.
Go to the doctor. Yes. Right, go to the doctor. The consultation form says you will not hold us liable for any of that because you decided
to. Nobody reads that. And so then they turn around and they send you, put a review on Yelp. My eyebrows came off and they didn't tell me.
I love that. I need to go to your Yelp page, girl, because I love reviews.
Go. So, like, everybody that comes in, like, oh, my God, you had such great reviews. I say, oh, you didn't see the bad one? Where I, like, told these people. Because one girl was, like, going off about how she got banned, and I was just like, be blessed, bruh. Be blessed. That was my response, and with a heart. Why I love Google. Because Google will let me respond, be blessed, with a purple heart. because I didn't have the energy to go back and forth about why somebody got mad because I banned them, because I can't take that kind of energy. If you is not good for my health in my workplace,
you weren't honest. Yeah, you weren't honest at the beginning of this appointment. Now you expected me to save you on the other side.
That part.
What? So Gianni, you have anybody come in that's not follow through, or they told you one thing and then you shampoo their hair or whatever, and you're like, okay. Like, for example, I had a client come in to get a blowout. She had just got a hair colored at another shop an hour prior. And she had that little like cheetah color in the back of her head. She didn't even know her hair was messed up. But she was adamant that we should wash her hair and then style it. And we were like, but you just got it colored. We're not supposed to wash your hair after you just got it colored because you're basically deactivating what just happened. She didn't care. So have you ever had clients like that who are like, okay, I know I just got my hair bleached and blah, 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 but can you relax it?
Heck no. Heck no. No.
Seriously? You've never had
Okay.
a client like do some
So
like.
this happened to me over 12 years ago. And it's the only and it was one lesson that I learned, and I learned it well, and I was like, never gonna happen again. The beautiful thing about hairdressing is that we are allowed to do strand tests. Okay. So if a client says something, does something, whatever, the consultation sets the grounds for me asking, you said ABC, therefore this is going to happen. If you're lying to me, this will happen. If you're telling the truth, then this will happen. So the consultation, before I even touch the hair, all these things are said, we're set in stone, right? The thing I love and that I really miss about working in a salon is that you have people around you that are listening, that are witnesses to the things that are happening. So I was a young stylist, it's like 18, 19 years old. And this woman came in and her hair was curlier, a little curlier than mine, a little thicker, saying that she gets relaxers. And I sat there, I was like, are you sure it was a relaxer and not a keratin or like a smoothing treatment? And she was really rude to me. And then like, I'm still learning how to deal with rude people. I'm still learning my grounds, you know, so I'm just taking it all. She was snappy. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I get done. I get it done every 6 weeks. I know what I do with my hair. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, but it's still soft. It doesn't look like a relaxer because a relaxer. I know what I'm talking about. So then I asked her one more question. I said, okay, is it cream or is it liquid? And she just gave me the nastiest stare. And I was just like, okay, it's a relaxer. Let me go get a relaxer. I'm sitting next to my manager. I'm applying the relaxer. I go rinse it out. Put it all in like 20 minutes, go rinse it out. Clumps, hair, just
I
clumps. Do
remember
you remember?
this.
And my manager was Alicia.
Yes.
My manager,
I
my manager.
remember this because you told me, you were like, girl, hair was
And
coming
this woman
out
had long, I mean,
in
it
the
was
sink.
beautiful. When I say it was beautiful, long, thick, like it was gorgeous.
And that's what
I
she
was like
get. That's what she
mortified. I was just
get.
like, oh my God. And I just like, I mean, when I say clumps, imagine how terrifying it is. And then she's just like this. And she opens her
Oof.
eyes and she's just like, what? And I was just like, I'll be right back. And I run to my manager and I tell her, and she's just like, are you kidding me? I was like, you need to come see this. And she was sitting right next to me. So not only did she hear how she was talking to me, she heard the entire consultation. And now she's walking back to the bowl, like, your hair's falling out. And so she starts like putting her hands in her head and she's sitting up and clumps is just falling out. She's crying. My manager's like, just continue neutralizing it, shampoo it, get the pH back, bring her back to the chair. We'll take care of it. She had no hair.
Because God don't
She had
like
no hair.
ugly.
And, you know, I was crying. So I was
Oh
terrified. I
my
was like, oh my God,
gosh.
oh my God, oh my
Yeah.
God. And so my manager, she gave her basically a,
When was this?
to like, I don't know how old I was in 2019. I mean, I was how old I was when I was 19.
It's like
they didn't have Yelp.
No, this was like
we were
2000
still
what?
sched we were still
Nine.
we
You
were
got
still
lucky.
scheduling things on paper. Like there was no compute. The computer was just made for. I mean, we just used a computer to check people out. There was no website. There was no internet type of. There was none of that. Just word of mouth, and
Damn.
going out passing your cards out. So she just offered her to come back to the salon for the next year every week to get treatments and trims by my manager. And I was in the back and I was like, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe I messed that up. And my manager, she's just like, you know, I was there, Gianni, and I heard the entire thing. And she's like, she said it was a relaxer, and she made it very clear that it was a cream, not a liquid. So whatever. So I'm like, that was terrifying. Since then, I haven't had anything crazy like that ever happen. Like, I might have just mixed a color wrong, but I was able to fix it or ask someone to help me fix the color before the client could like notice the toner or whatever. But dramatic things haven't, like things with body, scalp, and like melting away or like all that stuff, that has not happened to me. Thank God. Like, I can't. And
not melting away.
No, people get highlights.
I've ripped an earring out earring? Before.
You ripped a what?
Earring?
Earring.
An earring. Oh.
A piercing.
Oh. I like how you try to angle the camera down. Earring.
Right. Without angling it, thank earring. You. Without going what? Down there.
Was it a mess?
What?
Was it just a snap?
Nah. The wildest part. Listen, this girl had just gotten it pierced. And it just like literally came off clean. Like as if I had cut it with scissors. Oh, no. And I was like, is this your earring?
And oh, the my wax God. Strip.
And she was like, and I was like,
oh, her clean. Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, you're not bleeding or anything. It just came clean. Like, literally, it's just like the skin was in
half.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I am
That's
in tears.
Terrifying.
So she didn't even feel it.
No.
Maybe.
She probably was numb.
No. On the topic of ripping things out, Aggie. Because you be having stories. Like, Gianni, she be having stories. She'll call me like, girl, why such and such happened today? Or like, ask me about my day. She'll ask me to ask her about her day because she knows
I love,
that crazy.
I loved our waxer stories.
Because, I mean, you're dealing with people's
like. I had a waxer. She said that she had a client who took a Sharpie and outlined her lady part so that she could show her what she wanted wax and what she wanted to stay there. And I was just like, you're lying. She's just like, no.
That's why
she did that. I was like, Aveda has the funniest stories.
No,
we should write anonymous.
I actually have had, I've had a client come in, take the curling iron out of her bag and tell us to use that curling iron because it was better than the one we had.
Those clients are crazy.
Why didn't she curl her own hair?
That same client who ended up being my regular, by the way.
You still using
her
curling iron?
Another stylist. Nah, she took the blow dryer out the girl's hand. Was like, you're blow drying my hair wrong.
See, I've had people just be rude and nasty to me.
It'll never be me.
I haven't.
And you accept
Well,
no, she didn't do that to me.
Yeah. Before I had the nerve to be like,
when was the last time someone was rude and nasty to you?
5 years ago at the other salon that I was working at. It's been.
What was your response?
By then, I kind of just stepped in front of them and I just told them, I was like, you know, I think that this service isn't going how either of us have planned. I don't think that I'm a right fit for you. There's someone else in the salon that I think that would be able to service you better than I can, but I'm not the right stylist for you. And that's like the dialogue that I have, like that I've learned to have before. I would have the time of day. That's when I was working at the other salon with Fasika. Like I'd have the time of day, and she would tell me about myself. She's like, you cannot talk to clients like that, Gianni. And I was just like, she came for me. But now I try to be more respectful because I understand that everyone's not there. So I'm like, I can have grace.
Professional.
You know, I can have compassion.
But you know,
Aggie's not like that sometimes. I feel
nice all the time.
I was going to say,
all the calls
phenomenal.
Are recorded for quality and training purposes at Waxing with Aggie, okay? Because we want to make sure that the staff speaks to you properly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I could play back the calls, I should, like, do anonymous,
I'm telling
like, a
you,
podcast
we should,
about,
we really,
like, all the calls that we get.
Yeah.
We have people submit their stories and just tell me the area in the country that you are, and then all we can do is just like read these encounters. Yo, they're probably hilarious. So many stories. We probably have the best stories in the industry, yo. People are crazy.
Because people be tripping. Yeah. Do you have a phone? Like, well, I was gonna say, do you have a phone? You have your cell phones. But like we had at Dry Bar, we didn't have a phone. You had to message people to get something. You couldn't hear the phone if you wanted to because it was so loud with blow dryers. It made sense. There was no clock. So people didn't know what time it was. You know, kind of like get people out of sight, out of mind. So
that's a casino.
I don't know that casino.
Spend
life.
Your money. Because yeah. Dry Bar, they would. Oh, Imani, because you worked in Bethesda, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And Georgetown. I remember coming over there. Yeah. Serve them champagne and watch a movie. Yeah.
I remember when I used to do that.
It's too much. It's too much. If you're not backed by investors for your big old salon like Dry Bar was. You can't keep that up. You can't, and that's the thing. You're offering things when you start a business. Ellie Webb had to give that up.
No, and they couldn't just have one glass.
She just put out a book about that.
Yeah. Four glasses of champagne. Can I get another glass?
Oh wow!
Just imagine. I used to have a client.
My gosh.
Monty, remember when I said wine? I'd have a client that would sit there and drink the whole bottle of wine. I'm like, you really gonna sit here and drink the whole bottle?
No, ma'am.
And not chip you for the service.
Well, I paid for my wax, so I should get the whole bottle. Well, they got the bottle for me $7. You sat here and drank my whole $7 bottle of wine. Gosh. It's
supposed to be $1.50 each, client.
$1.50 a day. So you gotta tell us, because we were talking about this earlier, about a day. So we're going to act like this happened a couple weeks ago. Because wait till you hear this, Gianni. So, okay, have you ever had a client? I'm going to ask you.
Serious question.
I'm going to ask you. Have you ever had a client who has had loose bowels?
That's not the question. That is not the question. The question is, before you go to the wax lady, you going to walk inside and you going to go boo-boo before you go see her?
That's so disrespectful. I take a shower before I go to my sugar girl. Like I love her. When I was dating someone, I'll answer the phone while she's waxing me. I'm like, look at this. She's getting me right. I love her. I could not do that to her.
They don't love me.
See, that's a fee.
It seems
that's an extra fee.
It's a bathroom fee.
That's a boo-boo fee. Like, you're going to use the bathroom before I got to go down there? Oh.
I said no, a fee. First of all, not only did the person boo-boo, but it stunk up the whole shop. It went into everyone's room. That's disrespectful. And the girl at the front desk was like, oh my God, did she close the door?
I've been to your place too, so I know. Yeah.
Every single door, he's like, that bathroom was like, boom,
oh
boom,
my gosh.
Boom.
I'm so sorry that happened, girl.
I'm like, it went all the way to the break room.
Rude. That's rude.
Smell. It just echoed into every room.
Disrespectful.
And then they asked me, how did you do with the smell? And I said, the moment she walked in the room, I said, I'm going to put my mask on because I just had some cookies.
I don't want you smelling of this chocolate.
And then the mask choked me out even more. the smell got trapped in the mask, bro. So, needless to say, like, when things are not right, you can't just put a mask on top of it. It'll choke you.
That's rude.
Bro.
That's rude. I've had clients with bad body odor.
I need a tissue.
Not that.
Are you kidding
That's
me?
Messed up. Like, I'll Ooh. Be blow drying and you can smell there.
You see these stairs?
I love when Imani laughs. It makes me so happy. I love you, love.
You
You smelled somebody while you were blow drying their hair.
So when you blow dry hair, like if it's they disgusting. Have a, if That's they have disgusting. Perfume or like whatever their scent is, when you're blow drying hair, you're essentially reactivating smells, right? Because it's hot. I don't know if you ever put a blow dryer to your shirt and just like, yeah. There would be some people would come. This is again. This is when I used to work at this other salon. I would get walk-ins, and there are some people that would come in after a workout, and they'll get their hair blow dried or washed or styled or whatever, and they would smell because they just worked out. And I don't understand.
They couldn't why smell people themselves.
Go get services done by humans and not take a shower or like. At least put deodorant on. Like, I mean, it's so bizarre to me. I guess because I do it, I'm like, I take a shower before a haircut. I take a shower before a wax. I take a shower before a massage. You do need to charge more.
So it's December, and we are in the midst of what might be like a lightweight or a recession without it actually being, oh, it's a recession. And a lot of people I've been talking to, whether they have a product-based business in beauty or they are behind a chair or own a business in beauty, serving people, servicing people, they said it's been slow. Do you feel that's true for you too?
Absolutely.
Like, how do you notice it's been slow, or how do you notice like something's off?
So when you come from like making six-figure months to making double, like, digit month, it's wild because the bills are still there, payroll is still there, everything is still there, just the money isn't there. And so it's fight or flight right now for a lot of people, and entrepreneurship is not for the weak. And people can front and act like they're not going through it, but mad people are going through it. Mad solopreneurs are not seeing the amount of clients to keep their doors open. Like, I know a few people who have decided to close their doors and like go and join another like business, go and work for somebody, because trying to like keep a business open or like buying supplies, paying rent, whatever you have to pay for, paying all these additional things you have to pay for, a service to like scheduling or credit card fees, anything you have to like, all those things add up at the end of the day. And when things aren't making sense, under pressure, people make a lot of bad decisions, which means that right now you're seeing so many sales, about like crazy sales.
Yeah, like 50% off, 75% off, bundling that. Waxes, bundling services,
everything. But I've stayed consistent with my sales. We do the same sales Black Friday and Christmas every year. I didn't
change anti-sale, by the way.
I'm not anti-sale, but I mean, if you train your clients to look for that, that's what you're going to get. And so, like, you know, I'm just, like, riding the wave and sticking to my guns, because I knew this coming into this. Entrepreneurship is not for the weak. At all.
No, it's not.
At all, but like to say that I have it all together, I don't have it all together. I'm struggling. I'm like asking my husband, like, babe, I need money, and he's like, okay, fine, don't worry, I got you.
That's sweet of him.
And he's like, I don't have to worry, but I gotta worry, because my business is my everything, and my staff is really important to me, and like just. I've had to think about, like, what if I would have to be like, all right, everybody, this is not working out. I can sustain by myself, but I can't sustain with all of you. And that's the reality of it. Like, really checking myself, like, all these, it's about to be Christmas. Imagine having to tell your whole staff, like, all right, so this is the last day, we closing. And these people have children. These people have mortgages. These people have rent. These people have car payments, children. It's wild, but some people are having to do that. You know, I know that they're saying that the economy is getting, like, I seen a dentist today, and she was like, yeah, the economy is actually getting better. I said, where?
For who?
That part. Because everyone in the beauty industry right now is struggling. whether they realize it or not, you can have like 3, 4, 5 days where you don't make money, and then you make $3,000 in one day. And that $3,000 does not make up for those 5 days that you didn't have anything, because the bills still needed to be paid for those days. That people still got to get paid. The supplies still have to be ordered. It doesn't, it changes nothing.
I was like, is it wild for you over there?
So I wasn't, you know, I was working in 08, right? That was the last recession or whatever that was.
Yeah, we graduated out of high school into a recession, and out of college.
And so that time was different than now, because, you know, people couldn't afford their homes because they didn't have money, because they weren't working to pay their mortgages and stuff. So I think what we're dealing with now is a little different, because people have money. They're just being a little bit more selective of where they're putting that money. And I feel like that's why, in our industry, absolutely, I think that perceived value of your business and who you are and what you provide is very important, because you're essentially telling people like, you should come to me because ABC. And I feel like the recession that is now is only because during COVID, like, the government basically gave us free money, and now they're trying to just get that money back. So it just increased everything that we are having to pay for. So, because I'm like, oh yeah, let me pre-book your appointment for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And it's now it's like, oh, actually I need to push it a little further back. Like, just like I do with my therapy sessions, like, I can't afford her every week now. I got to see her every four weeks or whatever it is. But like, it's still a priority to me. And I feel like people are just now, not now, but have been just realizing that, like, what is it that you're really spending your money on? And is it valuable enough that you need to do it every 4 weeks, every 6 weeks, every 2 months, every year? I've learned a lot at the salon I was working at before I got to my place on my own. And I'm so grateful for it, because I never, you know, in the beauty, and I mean, at least in my experience, we're never taught how to save money. We're never taught how to talk about money. We're never taught how to keep clients coming back consistently and what that looks like in dollar value. So like, I've definitely felt my income shift, but again, I can blame it and kind of think that it's a lot of things that I just started on my own, and it's hasn't even been a full year yet. So I think that what I've been feeling has just been a lot of risks that I've been taking this year. And I feel like next year, if it is tight, I've been taught to kind of work and save enough for like 3 to 4 months. And COVID definitely taught that to be true, whereas like 3 to 4 months, 2 to 3 months out of the year as a hairstylist, you're going to be slow regardless of what's going on in the world. So you should already have a reserve for like two to three months. And so I'm a little crazy about saving. So I'm like, okay, well, that means 4 to 6 months to me, because if the 2 to 3 months is average, I'm just going to double it so that I make sure if the world blows up, I have, you know, I can get away with what I have. But I feel like being smart about how to save, where to save, when to save isn't really talked about in our industry. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when we're talking about fees and we're talking about just the relationships that we have with clients, is just responsibility. We're holding everyone else accountable for how they move in the world. And if you're going to be a part of my business, and if you're going to be a part of my professional space, then you're respecting my time, and that time goes with money.
No, you're right. I mean, it makes me think of like the lack of HR, the lack of, you know, no one's given us a template. I'm like, okay, and these are the policies you should have after you have graduated.
Now they are.
And you want to go out on your own. Why? Because we created all that stuff.
You don't have to struggle like I did. Here's what you need. It's real.
Right. Go to YouTube. No,
it's out there. And it's so beautiful. That's why media is so, you know, it's the, one of the great things about it is just even the three of us right now having a conversation about these things and being able to share information back and forth quickly. I wish we had something like this when I was in school, you know, like, I wish I could find a mentor that was like in another state and we can just bounce back messages really quickly. But I was just looking for someone because I just needed someone in my city and I couldn't find anyone. And I feel like, so it took a while for me to get, right, to get myself professionally set. And I feel like that happened to me in LA because there's more people out here that are like, hey, you're doing that wrong. Let me show you what might work for you a little bit better than what you've been doing, you know? So
the people there are nicer
in LA.
They're friendlier. Yeah, they're friendlier.
Bad days aren't so bad here. Like, you can have a shitty day and just be like, well, at least it's not snowing. At least I don't have to plow my car out of, or leave it the 405. Like, that's, I remember just having an attitude. Okay, and not that this is the reason why, but I feel like I had an attitude because of the weather when I lived back home in DC. I'm going to say it. When it was hot and sunny, I was happy all the time. When it was fall and winter, I had an attitude.
Seasonal depression is real out here.
I was mean.
Real talk.
Y'all need to come over here.
It's real. Yeah. You're in the sunny, sunny state. And she's worried about a policy on if it's ice on Monday and if the shop's
right. Oh, yeah. No. Did it snow today? Yesterday?
Oh, my God. Please don't.
And then the COVID policy.
Oh, that was another.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, hey.
Next topic.
If someone wants to get out of their appointment, I have COVID.
No, that was for sure.
That did, you know.
And then it was, let me see your test result. Like, that wasn't, anybody can get a positive one now. Like, it was.
Breaking HIPAA laws.
You could show it a fake, it was so, or real stupid one.
Honestly, we survived though. Congratulations. that was scary. Yes. That was scary. Yes. 9 months of not working. I was like, what's going to happen to me?
So I want to know from both of you, some tips, some advice that you would give to your younger self starting out, two things you would either do differently or like, no, you wish you knew. What do you have, Gianni?
Oh, my younger self professionally, I would speak up. I would speak up more. I feel like some of the issues that I dealt with in salons was just because I didn't say anything and I felt like I should have said some things. Mm-hmm. Another thing would be a little bit more, open and vulnerable, not vulnerable, but have a little, you know, be a little bit more open to connecting with other stylists. Like when I was working at salons, I just was, after being fired and all the things, like, I was just like, I'm only coming in here to work. I'm only coming in here to make money. I don't know y'all. I don't need to know y'all. Just respect my space, whatever, and just go. And I wish that, which I learned at this other salon, I wish that I would have just been a little bit more open. I feel like I would have develop better kind of communication styles with different people,
like the team sport.
Yeah, like I just wish I would have been a little bit more present in salons. I feel like if I was, I would have had better opportunities to expand myself in the DMV area. And I feel like once I got out here, I just started doing that, which is why I feel like I have had a little bit more success, because I just like open myself up fully and was like, this is who I am and this is what I do and I'm working on it every day. But if I'd done that younger, I can only imagine where I would be now at this age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aggie. Big point.
That financial was advice. Real.
Like, it was like, I mean, we like should have back then, right? It was
totally
like
should have.
For one.
We totally should have back then.
That's a good one.
I ain't messing with
that's
it now.
That's a good one.
But yeah. That would have funded the whole business. That would have funded the new location.
We would be having
this
conversation on an
island. If you got out of there in 2021 or something.
That part. That's true.
So what's your advice?
My advice is consistency is key. Like, stay consistent with anything. All them self-help books, anything, everything is telling you to do is stay consistent. Like, discipline is a big, big thing. Mm-hmm. Not just that, but what's meant for you is always going to be for you too, you know? So like, I didn't need to be in a rush to do everything. Hmm. See, Gianni's just going out now and it's what's meant for her.
Thank you.
And it's always going to be like, you know, you doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But it was meant for you. Nothing can deter you from that. You're still going to make the money you need to make. You're still going to do what you need to do, meet the people you need to meet, because it's for you.
Thanks.
Well, on that note, thank you, Gianni and Aggie, for your phenomenal conversation.
Thank you for the laughs.
We'll be back next week.